Lord, may we open our ears to hear your word this morning and open our hearts to receive it. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Would you please take your seats? Well, one of the many things I love about being a priest is the privilege of meeting with people, hearing about their lives and how God is at work. And this is very much true when meeting wedding couples and baptism families. It's hearing what is special about the person they're going to marry or what is special about their child. And it's always interesting to hear how right from the very beginning a child's character is being formed. Parents will say things like, "Oh, she's feisty and has been a real fighter from the beginning," or "His smile lights up the whole room." It makes you wonder where these God-given gifts will lead and how this special child will make their contribution to God's world. And as we welcome children and adults into the church family at baptism, we're reminded of God's love for them and for us too. The passage we've heard from Mark's Gospel this morning may be very familiar to us, and the danger with familiar passages is that we can feel sometimes that there's nothing new to be found. But of course, with God, there's always something new to be discovered, a new nugget or an old nugget seen in a new light. And so it seems really appropriate this morning, as we celebrate the baptism of Christ, as we revisit this familiar passage, that we look at the baptism of Christ through the lens of Epiphany, which the church celebrates on the 6th of January. And the two are closely linked in many ways. Just as we reflect on a baby's gifts as part of baptism preparation, at Epiphany, we reflect on the gifts brought to Jesus at his birth, many years prior to his baptism. In many of our nativity stories, we often have the three kings arriving hard on the heels of angels and shepherds, but in fact, they arrive much later. On their journey, they take a detour via Herod's palace and arrive a little late at the party bearing gifts. But gifts, whether they are the gifts we discover early or late in our lives, are still gifts. The three kings choose their gifts carefully. They bring gold to the new baby because, as Jane Williams puts it, they realise that he is kingly beyond anything they have ever met before. They choose frankincense, the spice that can be burnt at the altar of God. They know that they are in God's presence as they kneel in front of the baby. And then they choose the burial herb myrrh. The kings may work out from Herod's reaction to the news of the new baby king that Jesus' life will be in danger, and so the gift of myrrh is given. As the three wise men kneel at the feet of Jesus, they realize that he is no ordinary baby. Christ is revealed to them, and so we use the word Epiphany for this time of year, meaning revelation or realization. It's what many might describe these days as a light bulb moment. At theological college, we were often to learn all kinds of long words, and so this was there called an epiphanic moment. And I think the birth of a child, and as parents prepare for their child's baptism, this can also be an epiphany for them. Somehow, through the power of the Holy Spirit, God peels back the curtain and reveals himself through the miracle of birth. And that's why baptism preparation is such a joy and a privilege to do. I find that we can have some wonderful conversations as we reflect on their beautiful child, her or his gifts. And I hope and pray that God would be part of this wonderful adventure that the child, parents, and godparents are beginning. I wonder if you've ever experienced something like that in your own lives. I know that when I was, we were having our eldest daughter baptized, that encouraged me to start going to church. It stirred something quite unknown in me, and I began to journey alongside my baby daughter. Her baptism was an epiphany for me. So, at Epiphany, Jesus receives gifts. Well, we too have gifts that we are given at birth. They may not be gold or frankincense or myrrh, but they are nevertheless carefully chosen God-given gifts that will support us throughout our lives. And so this morning, I'd like to suggest three questions to ask ourselves about our own gifts. First of all, are we appreciating our gifts? There's a story told about Gladys Aylward, the missionary to China in the 1900s. Gladys is said to have envied her tall, blonde friends and their beauty, while she was less than 5 feet tall with black hair. Surely God had made a mistake, she thought. Yet years later, she changed her mind as she arrived in the country where she would serve as missionary. When she looked around at the people on the Chinese streets, she realized that she would be working with dark-haired, short-statured people exactly like her. Oh God, she is said to have gasped, you knew what you were doing. Well, sometimes something may happen to us to help us to appreciate our gifts. So perhaps one of us has a gift like that. Secondly, do we have gifts that we are not using? John Ortberg, a pastor at Willow Creek Community Church in America, tells the story of what happened when he and his wife were clearing out the attic after the death of his grandmother, Florence. They came across a dusty box of old dishes, and when they opened the box, they found that it contained beautiful china, delicate cups, saucers, and plates, carefully wrapped in tissue paper. They find out that the china had been given as gifts to his grandmother over a period of time, on special occasions, on birthdays, on anniversaries, at her wedding. The china had been handmade and hand-painted in a Bavarian factory that was destroyed during the Second World War. So it was unique and irreplaceable. It was so beautiful and so precious that Florence had decided only ever to use it on special occasions. But no occasion had ever been special enough. No one had ever used it or seen it. Sadly, Florence had died with this beautiful gift unopened, left lying in the attic. However, John's mother was then given the china, and she used it every day, even if it meant getting chipped and broken. So do we have gifts that we're not using? It can be scary sometimes to use our gifts. We might be rejected, we might be hurt, because other people may be jealous of our gifts. Our gifts might be misused and trampled upon. Or do we take a risk and get chipped and get hurt, trusting that God will hold us in our brokenness, sharing our gifts for the benefit of society and for the building of the kingdom of God on earth? And then thirdly and finally, do we see ourselves as not gifted, thinking others are much better and much more equipped than ourselves? Well, to answer this question, let's go back to the end of our gospel reading this morning. As Jesus is baptized, it reads, "And just as he was coming up out of the water, he saw the heavens torn apart and the Spirit descending like a dove on him. And a voice came from heaven, 'You are my son, the beloved. With you I am well pleased.'" The Message version reads, "You are my son, chosen and marked by my love, pride of my life. Wow, to be told that you're someone's pride of their life. One church I used to go to used to ask people to stand up in the service when it was their birthday that month. Don't worry, I'm not going to ask anyone to do that this morning. You're safe. One January morning, as we celebrated the baptism of Christ, people with birthdays that month were asked to stand up, and I was among them. The vicar used the words of this reading and then said about those of us standing up to the congregation, "These are my beloved sons and daughters with whom I am well pleased." Well, it was many years ago and I was going through a particularly difficult wilderness time. Initially, I found those words really hard to take in, but they ended up being a turning point for me. Each one of us has the gift of God's love, and he has equipped each one of us to do something unique and special with our lives. We are all gifted in one way or another, but not in the same way, which is just as well, really. We together make up the body of Christ, and we wouldn't do too well if we were all left feet. So if anybody here thinks that they are not gifted, please invite one of us round for a cup of tea, because it's a wonderful privilege to sit with someone and help to unwrap God-given gifts. It can be an epiphanic moment. You see, our gifts are not supposed to lie dormant, unappreciated and unused like beautiful china, carefully wrapped up in the attic. They are to be used for the building of God's kingdom. When we're taking part in God's building project, being where God has called us to be, doing what God has called us to do, and we can discern this through prayer and through seeking God's wisdom and speaking to others and through reading the Bible. When we are doing that, these gifts will shine like lights for ourselves, for others, and for God. As our reading from Genesis reminds us, God says at the beginning of creation, "Let there be light," and there was light. And light reminds us once again of the baptism service where the candidates, or more likely their parents, are given a lighted candle, and they are sent out of church with these words, "You have received the light of Christ. Walk in this light all the days of your life." And we all say together, "Shine as a light in the world to the glory of God the Father." So as we go into this new year, this is a good time to ask God and to ask ourselves how we are going to share our gifts, how we are going to let his light shine in the world. And as we ponder and as we pray, to help us do that, I encourage you to take your reading sheets home with you and to read the passage again, putting your own name at the beginning of the passage so that it reads, "David, you are my son," or "Sarah, you are my daughter, the beloved. With you, I am well pleased." Stick the reading sheet on the fridge. Bring it out, read it often, and listen for God's answer to your prayer. How can I best use my gifts for the glory of God the Father? Amen.